Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles. Thank you for joining us. And of course, make sure whatever channel you are watching this on, you hit subscribe so you never miss any Mile High tick. And of course, also dial in June 3rd weekend, 2021. Mile High comes early this year. We look forward to seeing you rise up to Mile High altitude 5,280 feet, where we'll be focusing on the art of chiropractic this year. Look forward to seeing you there. Right now, I am super thrilled to have you connect with Dr. Wade Port, who will also be presenting at Mile High this year. And Dr. Wade Port really goes back deep in the art of chiropractic, some incredible influences on in his life and teaching and training, and I am sure we will touch on that in this episode. He's home to the largest chiropractic university in the world, Marietta, so it's fitting that he's found his way to chiropractic, attended Georgia Military College and Georgia College State University, and then found his way to Life University. Recently, I was super thrilled when I saw this, year or two back, that he was selected or awarded the Georgia Council of Chiropractic Chiropractor of the Year, which is super exciting. And we are really grateful to have him present at Mile High 2021 in a few of the breakout groups we're going to be doing. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Wade.
Hey, Danny. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
We're glad to have you here. And I feel like we are, long lost soul brothers connecting. So it's great to connect with you on this. And I know people are going to really value getting to hear from you during this episode. Let's get started with having people get to know you a little bit better. How did you find your way into this crazy chiropractic world?
I've told the story plenty of times, and I never get tired of telling it. Is I was working in a coffee house in Marietta, Georgia, where my hometown. And I was surrounded by chiropractic students. And one day they just asked me what I knew about chiropractic and said they are adjusting folks at their house. Come on by. And that's all she wrote. Within my first or second Sunday of going over to, it was actually Penny Dean, to her house, Shima. Right?
No, Penny.
Yep.
She was and just in the office recently.
That's right. Well, so for a 17-year-old, that got their consciousness really exploded and really focused in with purpose now. And to have the experience of, okay, here's someone speaking very simply in this, we're going to resensitize your body type of language without knowing anything, no lay lecture. Well, of course, I walked away from that thinking that every chiropractor touches you gently on your bum and you feel these ripples and waves move through your body. And I'm just like, man, this thing is amazing. And so, long lost soul, brother. My roots have always been an NSA. I just didn't know what that's what they called it. I thought that's what all chiropractors did. Deductive reasoning, right? So that was my start. I knew I was a chiropractor. And I got the philosophy and the principle through every fiber of my being without having a lay lecture, without having a doctor's report. And so that's something imperative for me to remember. And it's imperative for me to continually share, especially with the students in chiropractic, that it wasn't some, legend of chiropractic who completely altered the course of my life. It was a 10th quarter student who really stood, who knew her truth and shared the message and then delivered the goods, right? And so if that was my real anchor into the art, or it was in my path of meeting the people who I did later, it's always been a passion to deliver those goods and to be that highly skilled artist for sure.
And what you just said just really speaks to my heart. I was discovering chiropractic around the same time, I have no doubt. And in the same circles, and had the way you shared that in terms of just, it can be this, look how life works. It can be anybody that brings you along your path, and the fact that we don't always realize that the path is being laid before us without us realizing it. So, Now, talk about discovering, if you can, your journey with connecting with different artists in the world of chiropractic. Now, you recently stepped up. Arnold Bernier asked you to be executive director of MLS. I'm a fan of MLS. Talk a little bit about some of the people that have influenced you in the art.
Yeah, I'd love to. And as I got into school, you know, one of the first things I said, because I had that experience from 17 is, you know, and it was a journey to get my prereqs done in college. And I'm a high school dropout, right? I dropped out 2 weeks into my senior year. But when I had that purpose of chiropractic, it was like, okay, here we go. And so I keep that one close to my heart too, when I deal and teach and mentor different people who don't think that they're good enough, smart enough, cut out to be whatever. And very early, so when I got to school, it was, hey, where's the network class? And at Life University back then, they looked at me like I had horns growing out of my head. You know, we don't talk that stuff around here, boy. And I was like, I don't understand. What do you mean, this beautiful thing? And so very quickly, when I felt that what I knew in my heart and soul to be true with the chiropractic adjustment wasn't really being conveyed through the classes, that I was very... I was shaken big time. I never questioned being a chiropractor, but it really shook me. And that very same week, my roommate, Tracy Wright, who's in Jamaica now, said, there's this guy coming. He's going to teach adjusting. And you want to go? I said, yes. It happened to be Arnaud Bernier. And that weekend, again, another pivotal moment, transformed my life. And he taught me how to apply with my own two hands what I knew in my heart and soul to be available, possible, and true and right with chiropractic. And then I was all in. And so you remember back in the day, the week-long camps that we used to go to. And so Arno's really the hub of the wheel, because what he would do was he brought Sue Brown, he brought Lou Corletto, he brought Liz Welch, he brought Christine Hicks, he brought, I know I'm forgetting a ton of people, but from Michael Sarnoff getting in the mix and all these brilliant artists that Arno wanted to expose us to. Yes, we were learning the MLS approach to adjusting, which we can't emphasize enough is a tonal meningeal approach to adjusting, that he introduced me to this big, huge world. So Sue Brown became one of my main mentors. At the same time, I'm going to Transformational Gates and never left or got out of touch with Donnie, and was going through those programs of advanced care and certification and gates and all this at the same time. So, you know, I really feel fortunate that I grew up in a real heyday of some powerful mentors for me. And I'm just grateful to pay that forward in any way I can.
And, you know, I had a similar experience, and I will venture to say that many people, probably of many generations of chiropractors, from the people that are in school or recent graduates, possibly in their early 20s or late 20s, and people that are, you know, 50s and 60s that graduated ways back that are watching or listening to this, probably had the experience of going to school, having an understanding of chiropractic they got influenced, you know, that they got exposed to. I know this was mine. And then seeing, well, wait a second, this isn't what we're doing as the focus of the education. There's this science stuff we're learning, or diagnosis, you know, and really having a different exposure, which is part of why at Mile High this year, we're going to focus on the art. And I want to bring that to a question for you. Relative to what we see being taught in chiropractic school, where do you feel we are in terms of people getting to really learn the art of chiropractic?
We always talk about a parallel curriculum. And just to touch base on where we went, I'm not a victim of it. And I don't handle it very well if a student is really disgruntled about it. Well, you and I both know we'll get in and change the legislation. Change the letter of the law in your state that says CCE only. And so, I mean, there's really some political factors involved. So we have these schools that are filled with amazing, heart-centered, skilled doctors who are there and can mentor these students, but they're really handcuffed.
Right.
And it's a system that has perpetuated itself. And I don't mean to go off on a political tangent, but it's remiss if we don't at least speak to it that the system is set up in a way because of the politics. And if that doesn't change, then here we are leaning on a need for a parallel curriculum. And so
you and I both know it.
Yep. And I think of Donnie. I think one of the things that spurred Donnie to really commit his life to bringing this to humanity was that very discord between school and the principal and what he knew in his heart. Same with Sue, same with me, same with, I don't know about Arno, because he was first class at Sherman that had some really heavy hitters,
right,
and powerful folks, and maybe they weren't as handcuffed because I don't think he needed the parallel curriculum, which is needed today. And I'm close with a lot of these clinic doctors at the schools, and it's a real, because they really want to be able to deliver everything that's needed for them to be totally ready, highly skilled when they graduate school. But because of the politics, they're handcuffed, and it's just not set up that way. I wish it was.
Well, and you and I both know, we've both been involved in teaching in different way, in different circles for years and years. I know the education that Arno had was similar to this time that Donnie Epstein had in terms of graduate years, what was taught in chiropractic schools in general. Over the decades, the chiropractic has decreased and the medical has gone up in the educational process. And year after year, we see more and more that chiropractic, as it's taught in school, is less like chiropractic, less like the art of chiropractic, and more like some other profession. So if we want to bring a congruence between the philosophy, science, and art, what do you feel is the relationship of where the art, philosophy, and science, how they come together?
What I've noticed, Danny, in the last couple of years is through these training programs that have spawned off of MLS and very successfully, which I'm grateful for, is now certainly I'm in a bubble. You're in your own bubble. We're on our own little, you know,
right,
paradigms and things. So what I'm seeing is actually, I don't mean to throw any wrench in any cogs here, but in a way, the circles that I run in, we've become art heavy. But again, I know that's the circles that I run in, which is the minority.
Right.
Okay. So
right. I see it too. It's the circles I'm in as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what I don't care for, and that's putting it really lightly, is for these amazing skilled human beings with amazing hearts, anchoring to the principle, and they're going to be the greatest adjusters that nobody's ever heard about. And that doesn't sit well with me. And I'm glad that I believe you just did a communication course, and I do some, I call them tonal chiropractic boot camps. And really, that's what we do. We drill communication, communication, communication. In the land of NSA, BGI, all these amazing approaches for these people that I've largely seen over the years be fairly dysfunctional in practice and society because the communication just isn't there with the majority of people in the public. And even if it is a pie in the sky type of thought process, but to bring principled chiropractic to the masses, well, we've got a marketing issue. We've got a communication issue. And because it just, I know you and your practice every day and me and mine and many other people with the testimonials of everyday people, teachers, preachers, regular old folks who are getting their lives back and getting their lives transformed. And why we're wondering why there's not a line down the street for it. I still think there is hope for bringing chiropractic to the masses and at least tipping points and all that good stuff.
Well, I think there's not only hope, there's massive hope. I think actually through 2020 and some of what we've seen happen in the world, it really is a catalyst because people have a different view of value of their health than maybe they did 10 years ago, that some of that will come out of that. You know, interesting. So we can see people apply the art very well, but maybe not aligned with the philosophy and science. How do those all connect?
For me, it comes back down to communication. And so it's got to have all three pillars, and the business and the communication has to be in there. And I see most people who really go down the road of honing their skill with the art, the mentors that they're going to teach from really own the principle and can convey that. And so most of these highly skilled artists, and I won't discount the fact that, let's say, I just did a presentation for the GCC's annual convention, and I talked about the mathematical engineering nerds, right? And I mean nerd in the most loving, affectionate way. And then my flower children chiropractors, and both of them could be just insane savant artists of clearing the neurospinal system, but their semantics and their language is going to be so opposite from each other. But that doesn't make either of them less extraordinary at what they do, but they might not understand each other. And maybe we should stop needing to understand each other so much, and we'll have more propensity for unconditionally loving each other.
That would be a good thing. There's a lot of walls up in chiropractic for something that's based on communication and connection and healing and facilitating that. With that, communicating tonal chiropractic, I love that. That's one of my specialties and things I focus on to help people get a bigger sense of what chiropractic is when we're taking care of them. Talk about that. What's communicating tonal chiropractic mean to you, and how do you do that?
Man, I joke around. We see people from all walks of life, and from very affluent people, PhDs, and all this kind of stuff, and I was doing a talk the other night for some students, and I said, you know what I find myself doing often is the more degrees that they have, I kind of let my Southern drawl come out just a little bit more. and I talk a lot simpler. And it's really not falling in the trap that it's so easy to fall in, that, oh my gosh, this person is driving that, they're wearing that, and their degree is this and this and this and this, I better sound like I know something about something. And I really go the opposite direction. And so for me, Danny, I feel like I fell in a trap early in practice and got labeled the light touch chiropractor. And even maybe even trying to talk to people about a technique. And I quickly had to course correct on that for me. That if you walk in my office and ask any people that we serve here, hey, what technique does Wade do? And I think they'd all go, chiropractic? And I'd say, yes, that's right. Because I really don't have an allegiance to any technique. It's to the person. And so the language is just really straightforward. Is, hey, I'm going to make some gentle contacts from top to bottom of your spine. It's going to cue your brain to check in. When it checks in, it's going to want to make a change. It's going to feel where tension might be hiding out. Here's some common ways in which people start to unwind that through breath, through sound, through movement. That's real common how people start to learn how to self-adjust in here. Sound good? Good. Great. Now we have the agreement, right? And so agreements, that's a big part, because I learned early in practice, not everybody was signing up for this soul expansion, you know, rip your soul out and peel the layers of karma through 47 lifetimes all in, you know.
You noticed that too? That wasn't just me?
Yeah. Learned that one. And so really the communication is a process of helping them take self-accountability and responsibility. But that has to happen through agreements. And so even for them to produce or start to develop their somatopsychic or respiratory wave, there really needs to be an agreement there, because they don't know they signed up for that really. And to develop those waves, they have to have a level of self-ownership and accountability. And that agreement can be so simple in just a sentence or two.
Yep. I agree. And I feel one of the things we teach often in our office and our team and other doctors is making sure you have matched expectations, and that can be a very easy verbal agreement of what it is that you're doing versus having the new patient prospect lead the conversation as to what their current narrative of chiropractic is that they bring to the office with them to no fault of you. That's what they bring, you know, what they to the fault of chiropractic as a whole in that. So now for you, where do you see the importance of objective outcomes in the art of chiropractic?
I feel blessed that my roots are with Donnie and NSA. And so it's not my natural tendency to take notes, but he trained that in me. And so from the beginning, I was looking at parameters, and I don't know if it was just me, but I have little to no tolerance in BS in those objective findings. If it didn't change, it didn't change. It doesn't mean I'm bad or that whatever. I just wish chiropractors would start being more honest with themselves. You know, it's the classic, somebody does a test like this, and then they do something, and then on the post-test, they go, just test it the same. You know, we all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's a dog and pony show, and like that doesn't get us clinical, objective findings. And we know how difficult objectivity is in the beginning. Interpractitioner reliability, I mean, it's all out the window. So at least be able to be objective with yourself. And so, I feel blessed that Donnie trained me to look at those parameters. We started introducing a lot of the self-assessments later on. And whether I'm doing any network care with somebody or not, I'm still using those same outcomes assessments, those self-reported things. And I, at least for me, even if the person we're serving could care less, if they are that minority that says, man, pat me on the butt and tell me, see you next week, I'm enjoying this buzz I've got off the table, and I'll be here forever, and so will my kids, that's not enough for me. And even though that's great, right? And I'm grateful for that. So I keep wanting to dangle carrots of milestones to reach.
Mm-hmm.
Until I joke, until they poof into a ball of light, I ain't done.
Well, no, I'm really glad you touched on that, because you touched on a couple things that I hold dear relative to the art of chiropractic. And I know there's people that practice all kinds of techniques with a very out there experience in their office. And not that there's something wrong with that per se, but I hold very dear that people are accountable. And the accountability is something I see in all kinds of chiropractic analysis approaches that chiropractors tend to avoid. And there's a lack of accountability. People don't necessarily know that they are delivering the goods that they say they're doing. They think they're doing great work, but are they actually doing it? And we tend to avoid accountability. And I too, that clinical excellence part has been drilled into me so much relative to making sure, regardless of whether you're doing BGI or network or upper cervical or CBP or MLS or whatever combination of all that you're, you know, are you being accountable to that soul that's on the table that you know you're delivering the goods that you are saying you're delivering? And if not, then you change your approach, because that's how we all get better, you know, over the years of taking care of people. That's why they call it practice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because the hypnosis in the culture is so thick, even somebody who is perfectly good with functioning at a high level, having clarity in their mental emotional states, they physically feel great. They have a boosted immune system. They're very sound in that thing. And really, you're doing your job of clearing them out. Well, if you're not continually, and it's really the communication and those milestones and checking in consistently, then isn't it common for someone to just wake up one day and be like, why am I still going? I feel great. And that's just because the paradigm out in the world is so thick that, hey, it's pretty cool that you can continue to use your objective outcomes assessments as a way to keep people connected to the philosophy, mm-hmm. the science, right? And the principle of why it is advantageous for them to continue to get checked the rest of their life, whether they feel good or they don't. So we can get complacent. When someone comes into my office, or I'll say this, when someone goes into most of the profession's office and they say reason for seeking care, wellness, I really feel that most of the profession goes, yes, like someone gets it. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, and really when I ask, what does that mean? They're like, I don't know. Well, let's have a dialogue so we can have some kind of measurable outcomes to help lead us to know from here to here, what has to happen for you to achieve your goals in life. And so I love talking with, we had a gathering last night, is it's possible that chiropractic has really screwed it up in the realms of communication to the public of who we are, what we are. Yes, there's politics involved that pigeonholed us, insurance, legislation, all this stuff, which was the perfect storm to help it really go that way. But then we fell for it. But instead of trying to get people to want what we want as geeky neuro nerds for spinal neural integrity, find out what makes them tick. And here's what I know. Whatever someone wishes for in life, they can experience more fully with chiropractic care. Yeah. Now, if I find out what makes them tick, now that's why I do everything. That's why I do this. That's why I do this. That's why I do this. That's why I take new pictures. That's why I do this or this reassessment or progress neurospinal assessment. It's to help them get XYZ, whatever they told me they're going for in life. And if they don't know what they're going for in life, we're going to clear them out and unsubluxate them enough to where they can actually get a grasp of what they might want in life, mm-hmm. because they've been here for so long. They didn't know what was possible. And now we can start to check in with them as their possibilities open up in their spine, in their life, in their consciousness. And then hell, in 6 months or less or more, let's sit down and just know that list that they gave me 3 months ago, they've blown that out of the water. Right. Let's come up with some new stuff. Let's have that carrot dangled in front of us and have some ways to know, are we getting there?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you used a term that I also use, but for our listeners, let's talk about this a little bit. Tonal chiropractic. To you, what's tonal chiropractic?
Well, at this point, and it's been this way for a while, Dee Dee Palmer told us that chiropractic was founded upon tone, right? And so I tell this story that in my practice out in Sun Valley, Idaho, it was a small town, and people would come to me and they'd say, wow, doc, this is different. My last chiropractor, you're doing like energy work or something. Now, we all know the tendency for chiropractors to, or anybody in any profession, for humans to take the opportunity to gloat or puff themselves up at an opportunity at the expense of their other brother and sister.
Right.
And so I'd like to see us stop doing that. And so I would say, well, Sally, if what we are, if you break it down to the atomic, subatomic level, is really just vibrating energy, mm-hmm. then how could they have been doing anything but energy work? We just talk about it more freely in our office. That's all. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't to discount them or what they were doing, but she said I was doing energy work, and I said, well, so was they, but they just don't talk about it the same way we do. Mm-hmm. And so for people making a gentle contact here, or if they are absolutely skull crushing, I have to say, do they have an osseous system? Well, you're doing osseous work. Do they have a fascial system? You're doing fascial work. Do they have a meningeal? You're doing meningeal work, right? And so for me, the lines have become, and I think that's what gives me my, superpower and super talent as a facilitator for chiropractors to come into their artistic form, their creativity, their unique expression of their art so well is because the lines have all been blurred. The box has been blown up a long time ago. It's all tonal work because of the vibratory nature and the frequency of the nervous system and all this stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at with it, Dan.
You know, and I have to say, you know, that was D.D. Palmer's message, you know, early 1900s, right? Late 1800s. And we've gone through an interesting century for humanity. I think that message, the humanity is more ripe for that message than it ever has been relative to chiropractic.
Yeah, BJ had to break it down in a mechanistic way, largely. Now the deep philosophy and spirituality was all there, but in order to raise the bar on academics of teaching chiropractors the degree of chiropractic and going through the Palmer School, he had to get mechanistic with it. But I don't think that he sullied the depth of Didi's message at all in doing that, but maybe some people got a bit mechanistic with it, but I think there's a perfect marriage for all. And I put on the post the other day, the law of infinite variety, and, you know, walking around in the streets today, watching everybody with their different paradigms, their different belief systems, it's right there on their faces. You don't have to guess what their philosophy of life is today. But at the same time, it's not a snap judgment, because somebody, you know, might be just absolutely scared to death and just don't have the gift that we have of the understanding of how the body works and how life works. And it's such a gift. And today more than ever, I think you keep mentioning that there are those cuspers, if you will. And maybe this is that same curve of early adopters and late adapters and all that good stuff, is that there's people on the cuffs just waiting for you and I to go out on the street corner, right, and let them know, hey, we would like to tell you and share with you how your body works, how the immune system works to the best of our understanding, with a nice dose of little do we know, right, at this point, but we know quite a bit, which if it precipitates more trust in themselves, more trust in their body, more trust in life, boy, we've done our job, whether they ever get adjusted or not. And so there's that rabbit hole.
Yes. You know, I want to ask you something about teaching. I'll say this. I know for myself, I'm honored to ever teach every time. And it's so inspiring myself when you see people have, you know, grow in their artistry, and or see the spine or the nerve system or chiropractic or healing in a different way. And you do a lot of teaching for MLS. What do you love or really enjoy when you are teaching or about teaching?
It is that one-on-one. I really thrive in that live dynamic. So really to give me a stage and say, hey, go share. That's not really my wheelhouse. I can do it. I can inspire the room. I can have thought-provoking conversation and dialogue. But really where I shine is that one-on-one with someone in a breakthrough experience realm. Whatever my makeup is, whatever my human design is and all this stuff, which my wife is brilliant at and I don't always understand, I can get inside there and really know where they're coming from empathically. I can learn about them, and to watch them take that step of really, Danny, for me, it comes down of unconditionally loving themselves. And once we can help them just clear the things that are in their way for them to come forth, man, that sign me up. That does it for me. It's really no different than someone on the table. We're facilitating healing and, you know, healer, heal thyself. For someone to facilitate healing, then yes, they will have to confront their fears, their judgments, their traumas, their stories about life. And if I can help dismantle them and interchange them with unconditional self-love, an artist is born, right? So I love it.
Hey, I want to ask you another question, but before we get to this, What are you excited about sharing and bringing to Mile High when you're there in June?
That's a great question. I'm not exactly sure what capacity I'm needed, and really, I'm excited for whatever capacity is laid in front of me. I've got a pretty broad base of communication, of skill sets. And so, man, I'm just a humble servant showing up and whatever. Put me in, coach.
Yeah.
I can play any position.
I say the same thing about myself. and this is why I'm so excited. We have not done this before at Mile High. We've had certainly people talk about the Art of Car Project, but it hasn't been the focus of the whole program. I thought right now, relative to what I'm seeing in chiropractic and I'm seeing in the field overall, you know, us having a place where people will uplift the artistry of chiropractic. We've never done breakout groups on hands-on analysis and at all, or that every presenter is saying something about the art of chiropractic, maybe from different perspectives, from multiple perspectives. So we're thrilled to have you do, you know, a breakout early morning lunch, you know, for people to focus on the art MLS style. It's going to be really a phenomenal thing. We're doing that with other people through the program. I think it's going to be something that people have never seen before in the genre of a program that Mile High is. So super, super psyched to be sharing. Thrilled. With that, what do you see? Like, you and I are going to be serving chiropractic for a lot of years together in the future. What's your vision for the future of chiropractic? Where do you envision it being? Not where we don't want it to go, but where do you envision it?
I've got like Sid Williams chirping in my ear. And so I shy away from, I don't have any vital letters on my office walls. I shy away from a lot of the cliches in chiropractic. I love many of them, but I've always been one to like poke holes at it from every side and really break it down. And so I just know that there's things happening, Danny, that we can't see. We don't know, right? It's not what it seems with the state of the world. And so I know that we just are continually preparing ourselves, the people that we're serving, that I'm shying away from some grandiose vision that's really different than what you and I and so many amazing chiropractors have been doing day in, day out, decade in and decade out. It matters. And so even just the energy of putting this in, it's making an impact in ways that I can't comprehend. But I trust that the frequency of the planet, the frequency of humanity is altering. Our structure is going to be changing, as has been changing, and it's going to continue changing. And if we just keep doing what we're doing, I'm called all the time by hanging around people like you to step up and continue to step up. As my maturity increases, as my capacity for service and growth and abundance, as my receiving flow gets stronger. And so in short, we really don't have to do much different. Let's keep doing what we're doing. Things are happening. Things are conspiring that we can't even know. But I am so committed to the youngsters coming through that are going to replace, you know, people as the cycle comes through, to just stay committed to exposing them to the principle, and successful chiropractors who are obedient to that principle. And let's foster that and grow that so that that can expand. And the brothers and sisters in chiropractic who've gotten their asses kicked and have starting to fall through the cracks and have starting to resent the sacred vocation, that let's pick them up by the collar. And let's bring them back in the fold. One of the biggest thrills is to have somebody 20, 30 plus years in practice come to one of our trainings and just get set ablaze by that fire and say, oh my God, I remember why I'm here. I remember why I became a chiropractor and I'm reignited. I mean, these people, some of them are going out, they are radically transforming their office. They're shutting it down. They're opening a cash practice over here. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And that's cool. That's cool to me. So in short,
just keep doing
what we're doing.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm with you. And so thrilled about you being at Mile High. How do people connect with MLS? If they want to learn more about it, where do they go? What do they do?
Yeah, the website is mlsseminars.com. We're about to roll out the 2021 schedule, and we have some Facebook presence if you look for MLS Seminars in Europe and in the States. Canada has been really tough in the last several years with the political nightmare that's going on up there, trying to limit chiropractic in Canada. That's been really tough, but I'm just so grateful to let people know. We were in California doing trainings multiple times this year, Parker, Davenport, Atlanta. Our last training in person, hands-on, hugs and kisses, loving on the people. We had about 140 people there. And so we haven't stopped. We've been traveling and really continue to bring it to the people. And I know people are so incredibly hungry and grateful for it. So MLSseminars.com. Come find out where we can serve you.
So thrilled. And we look forward to seeing everybody at Mile High, June 3rd to 6th. Clear your calendar if you haven't already. 2021, we are all looking forward to 2021. We look forward to seeing you there at Mile High Altitude, raising up the principle and the artistry and the philosophy science. Look forward to seeing everybody there, milehighchiroregistration.com. And when you enjoy this podcast, share it to others, send it, pass it on to a friend so more people can get some Mile High tick and chiropractic in the heart. Keep changing spines and lives and minds with chiropractic. Thank you, Dr. Wade Port.
Thank you, Danny. Appreciate everything you do.